Hey everyone, welcome back to the Rock Church Podcast. It's been a little bit since you've heard from us, so we're really excited to be here today. At the table to my left is
Jacob Kratzenberg,
Heather Blackstone,
Angie Preston,
and I'm Michael Erdman. We're so glad you're back joining us. If you missed us, good. We're glad that you're tuning in again. We just want to kind of give you a little update on what we've been doing for the past 4 weeks or so. Pastor Shane's not with us today. He sends his greetings. And so we're going to just kind of kick it off. Christmas. Christmas is done and gone.
But it's a new year.
It's a new year.
It's crazy. It's 2025. How'd that happen?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, 2024 ended on a good note, I think. Our Christmas service we did at the high school in Scotts Bluff.
That was amazing.
It was so amazing. Fun. For those of you who came, thank you for coming and participating in that. We saw people saved. We saw some good prayer ministry time. We had a lot of fun. Jacob up singing with the worship team and the music ministry.
So, yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's awesome to see people welcomed into a very public space with such love and joy. And it was like a welcome home rather than welcome to Scotts Bluff Public High School.
Yeah, it didn't feel like we
really
were at the
awesome.
High school.
I know. And I loved that.
Yeah.
The whole energy was completely different. That was great.
Yeah. So the thing that I really enjoyed about it beyond just the day is the lead up to it. So we'd been spending, 10 weeks?
Yeah.
Months. Praying in the high school, praying over the high school, but then specifically praying in the high school for that event. So it felt like the fruition of a lot of both on feet on the ground work, but then also spiritual work that we were expecting and ready for the Lord to step in, and he did. So it was,
yeah, no walls can stop him,
right?
Heather, you had a good crew of kids get up and sing a Christmas carol at the beginning, and
yeah,
that was fun.
That was a lot of fun. They were pretty nervous, but they got up there like champions and sang their hearts out, and it was really fun.
Yeah. And the next Christmas Eve we did here, we had our close family and friends join us for the Christmas Eve service and the reading of the story in multiple parts of the Gospels and tying in the prophecy from Isaiah and the things that were told to come. And so we had a really good time in a close gathering there. We had a good turnout.
Building new family traditions with cookies and crafts.
That
and
was just awesome.
And cocoa.
That, yeah. And cocoa, spending that time in fellowship was really, really special.
Yeah, there was a lot of our family, our church family, that showed up for that. And we thank you for being there and, again, being a part of the body of Christ.
Yeah, I really appreciated that we kind of did it different in that, I mean, like the tradition, the thing that people expect is Christmas Eve evening, two services, very quiet, very somber. Mm-hmm. Then we go off about our happy way with elves and presents and whatnot. But I, for one, appreciated that it was earlier in the day, one, because it felt like there was less pressure. There was one service, and then we got to go home when there was still daylight out and spend time with our families. And
Yeah. That was probably one of the first Christmas Eves I've been home before the sunset in 12 years.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
And I think it also, I didn't get to experience it this year because I was enjoying family. But something that if we end up doing that again, that I would really like to do is go to a more traditional service that I haven't experienced but have always wanted to. And so I think it gives people an opportunity to experience something different also. It's not the service that you're bringing your extended family to. It's a service that you can really experience your church family. And that was, it was a really beautiful thing. Yeah. I really enjoyed that a lot.
Yeah. And now we're here.
Yes.
New Year's came. We had a Mission Sunday in between all of that and had some really awesome topics and insight into what we as the Rock Church support. And our good dear friend, Benny Friedman, joined us on Zoom live in the service. and gave us some more insight to their new ministry, Lev Zion. And so, man, it's been a busy 4 weeks.
Yep. Yes.
What are some of the areas that we serve or that we give to in missions? Just so in case anyone's listening wants to learn more and get involved.
Yeah, for sure. If you missed what we do, we as the Rock Church, we support some specific ministries as an organization, and one of them is the Foursquare Disaster Relief. And we support them. They go out and they kind of hit crisis areas all over the world, not just America, because Foursquare is a global movement. And so they're involved in all aspects of crisis and requests for care. We support ICEJ, of course, and Pastor Tyson moved on and he's now our ambassador or emissary, I guess, from the Rock Church in that ministry specifically, but we support them financially and prayerfully as well. There's Chosen People, who is a messianic Jewish organization that is, their heart is to reach the Jewish people for Jesus, and they are involved all over the world as well. And then Benny Friedman and Lev Zion, Benny and Naomi, and we support them with finances and love and prayer as well. So,
and a lot of what they do is working towards a Jewish-Arab reconciliation, and then also also reaching Jews mm-hmm. about the message of Jesus.
Yeah,
and then learning more about the Seed of Abraham Ministries, the shortwave radio. We gave a special offering to that organization, and it was really cool to hear the feedback from so many people who came or listened in online to really understand what organizations we support as a church body and also why. Just the stories of, I didn't really understand why we supported Israel so much, but all of the organizations that we support are supporting Israel and in different ways.
Yeah.
And so it's cool to see how it's all unified, but very specific and strategic.
Yeah. And that is the heart of our support, is we have decided as the Rock Church to support Israel in the ways that God is calling us to do that. And we've been able to be involved in some really awesome ways, getting to know the Jewish people and those who are specifically tied to Jerusalem and Israel. And I know for one, we're planning a trip in June, as long as circumstances allow. And man, if you can go, please go. I wish I could go back. And as soon as I get another opportunity, I will be on the plane, because totally. It is an amazing, amazing experience.
Maybe we can put some of the links to what we've been talking about in the description for this episode.
Ooh, there you go.
Yeah. That way, if people want to learn more about any of the ministries that we give to in missions, or if they're interested in traveling to Israel with us, then they can learn more about that.
Yes. Yes. I encourage the curiosity of visiting the land where Jesus walked. It is incredible.
Life-changing.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Well, there's our 4 weeks in a nutshell. And last week we got to kick off a new series, the Babylon series of Daniel and the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. This is the focus, but we want to just talk about a little of what Pastor Shane brought in his message, and then also where our hearts are to bring this to our people, you guys here in the church. So, you know, Pastor Shane, he talked about the overview of what led up to Israel being taken into Babylon. What was the circumstances? Why was this a thing? And we're really hoping that we can tie this into a modern day context and get our understanding of how we can relate things in the Bible to where we are and not take the place of the things in the Bible. And so I don't know, did anybody popcorn some things out? What stood out to you in the message?
Yeah, I love the tagline that Shane came up with of Daniel lived in Babylon, but Babylon did not live in Daniel. And then how Paul, it's in a very different context, but a very similar stance, is that we are to live, or we do live in the world, but we are not of the world. And then how does that translate to our modern day? And so just like you said, we are not Israel and we do not replace Israel. However, the Bible is still applicable to our modern day. And so how can we translate those two things into our world, which I think Paul said it pretty good. Yeah. We do live in this crazy world and we are not of it.
Yeah. Something Shane said in his sermon too was that Daniel served his leaders well.
Absolutely.
While he was in Babylon, but he was also faithful to God that whole time. Yeah. And we, as Christians today in this world, you know, we are living in it. And as Paul said, we are not of it, but we can serve our leaders that we have here, our bosses that we have here, you know, be in our schools here, but still have a heart for God and still live a way that is pleasing to Him and not of this world.
Absolutely. And I think that's such an important factor of not only do we disagree with something, but we have to be respectful. Mm-hmm. And so being outraged, there is a place for righteous anger, but there's also an importance of being respectful to the leadership that's in place, whether it's your boss who's an unbeliever or, you know, the leadership in our government, whatever.
Well, and I think it's important to notice that they never should have been in Babylon in the first place.
Absolutely.
God warned them through the prophet Jeremiah 23 years earlier, like, this is going to happen. These are the people you need to look out for. This is when it's going to happen. This is the path you're on. And if you continue down this path, it will happen. And Mike, you touched on it a little heavier when we were speaking to the youth, but like this is the consequences of our actions. You can make a choice. You can make any choice you want, but you have to live with the consequences of your actions. God just didn't decide, I don't really like Israel today, so I'm going to send the Babylonians. He's like, no, this is the path you're on. This is what's going to happen.
Yep.
This is what's going to happen if you continue down this same path. And it happened.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, you know, it's very important to know that because it changes the perspective on angry God or good father God. And a good father warns his children when they're on the wrong path or when things are going to hurt them or when, you know, whatever, it good and bad. And this is the heart of God is you are my children and I'm warning you what you're doing will hurt you. And at some point, every good parent steps in if something goes too far and says it has to stop. And Pastor Shane, he mentioned that. He said, God stepped, he's got to stop. You can't keep doing this.
Yeah, he's not just sitting there.
Yeah, and there has to be correction.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So
that's in my life, I know specifically, if you don't actually face a consequence for a choice you make, there doesn't have to be any change.
Yep.
And so but
there's also no love there. It's just apathy. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. Love is not always just making you feel good.
Right. It's
love active. Is saying, I will stand in the way of you destroying yourself to the ability that I can, because I don't want to see you destroyed.
Well, and all of you are parents here. If your kid was playing out in the yard and they're like, I feel like I'm going to go play soccer in the street now. You're going to say,
a great idea.
Heck no, you're not. Yeah. Because you could get hit by a car. But if you didn't give a crap about your kid, you would say, go ahead and play in the street.
Yep.
I don't care about your safety.
Doesn't make sense.
I know it's dangerous there, mm-hmm. and I just don't care.
Yeah.
Why would God do that?
but I want to. But I know what's better mm-hmm. for you.
Yep.
And so I'm refusing to let you walk into a situation Absolutely. Where you will get hurt.
Yep. And I think that's a very important perspective, a very important lens to put on all of this, because it is a different view reading Old Testament and New Testament. Yeah. And God is not a different God. He is the same God. Mm-hmm. And so you know that he did everything out of love and out of good heart, good correction for his chosen, his children, his people. Mm-hmm. And that's where I want us to really center ourselves as we go into this topic of Babylon is God isn't an angry God. He's not just sitting there waiting for you to screw up so he can send you to Babylon.
Yep.
This is, as you said, and we did talk about it a lot in youth, the consequence to the choices that were made over generations, because it was 23 years he warned with mm-hmm. just Jeremiah.
Yeah.
23 years. That's a long time to be saying, stop, no, please.
You can pick a different path.
Stop, please. No, don't. That's a long time, and they still didn't listen. And there's multiple prophets before that warning all of the same thing, and God himself said, this is what the way I want you to live.
And it's been happening for hundreds and hundreds of years. You think back to the judges. God set up leaders and to correct cycles of sin. God wanted to be their king, and they refused. So he put there's flawed people who became king, and it sent Israel down this path to where they let themselves be vulnerable to exile and captivity and Babylon besieging Jerusalem and carrying out all the Israelites to Babylon.
Yep. Yeah. And being able to relate that culture to now. What is going on now? And that's the heart of it, is how do we apply what happened in history so that history, well, we can't really keep it from repeating itself.
History does keep repeating itself.
Because
King Solomon says there's nothing new under the sun.
Yeah. Right.
And we're not adding to scripture, but we can see it over and over again. Maybe God's not striking down Nineveh or Sodom and Gomorrah with sulfur and brimstone, but we're allowing ourselves to be put in these situations where we're letting ourselves be deceived by people who, like demons and people who are actively searching out for their own self-interest. Yep. And it leads us down these paths to where there's children committing suicide, where people are ruining their lives with drugs and alcohol. And there's no emotional intelligence or maturity, that people can't make good decisions. They can't build good relationships. Right. They're tearing their lives, their communities, their families apart.
Yep.
And I think the apathy is an interesting aspect of that, because the response to those things that you were very impassionate about is total apathy.
Yeah.
It's just stuck in all of this is happening around me / I'm involved in all of these things. And what is the response? It's not a righteous anger of a loving father of like, no, don't screw up. Mm-hmm. Don't do this to yourself. It's just sitting there. Mm-hmm. And so what is the place that we have put ourselves in, with this apathetic thought process instead of the disciplines of refining ourselves as Christians and saying yes to Jesus in the small things. Mm-hmm. And I think those are important things that also repeat in history too, of, you know, when they're enslaved and in captivity and in exile, an apathetic culture was a reason for, you know, for them being enslaved. Like, just do the right thing. I've laid it out very clearly. Nope.
Yeah.
So that's why I think it's so important that we're talking about Daniel and these other Hebrew boys. I think it's cool that he pointed out that they're from the tribe of Judah too. Mm-hmm. Who else do we know that comes from the tribe of Judah? But anyway, so they're people making bad choices, being sent into exile, into basically the epicenter of sin and debauchery and hedonism in the world. And we see these examples of being faithful to God and being obedient to God and the impact it made not only on their culture, but on the Babylonians.
And despite their circumstance of living in that grotesque place, right. Like they were making an active decision to do something different and remaining faithful.
Right. And not being disrespectful.
Absolutely.
Like we'll see that as we get deeper and deeper into the stories. They made a stand with respect to the leaders.
Yeah.
And yet still stood up for what God was calling them to stand for and their belief and their convictions. And I think
and they were honored. That's the thing. When they were respectful, they were honored by evil.
Yeah.
you know, like if we can approach our society respectfully, how will not only God honor us, but our jacked up world?
Because you know what the hardest thing I think for to understand is, we can be respectful because regardless of where that person is, we know God loves them.
Absolutely.
And that's a foreign concept to a human.
Loving your enemies. Yeah.
Yeah.
Praying for your enemies, loving your enemies.
Yeah.
And being respectful to your enemies.
But here's something that kind of leads into, and this was another interesting thing that Pastor Shane talked about, is God loves all of us, but the salvation in our era, we know, is only through Jesus Christ, through repentance mm-hmm. and belief
oh, this was good.
In mm-hmm. his death and resurrection, and then following him. But the repentance part was key. Forgiveness is conditional on repentance. Mm-hmm. Love is unconditional with God, but forgiveness is conditional upon repentance. And anybody want to speak into that? Because that is huge.
Yeah.
Huge.
I'll speak into this. When in Kids Rock, when we talk to kids about forgiveness and repentance, I'll ask them, well, what does repentance mean? Because I feel like in children's ministry, we talk about forgiveness, but we don't really hit on what repentance is and the actual meaning of that. And it's an action step. Like, you have to take action in repentance. It's turning away from that bad thing that you're doing, or the dishonoring thing to God, and turning towards God and doing what's pleasing to him. And I think that's missed in a lot. You know, people say, you know, you ask for forgiveness, pray for forgiveness, but it's not just that. You can ask for forgiveness and then go right back into that bad behavior. And then what's the point of even asking if you're going to continue to do the bad thing?
Yeah, Heather, I would like to champion that a little bit of, like, you know, the expectation of salvation or your walk with Christ is you're not going to expect a kindergartner to have the same type of faith or the same type of whatever spiritual maturity, there you go, as a PhD student.
Sure.
And if you're a 40-year-old person at a kindergarten level, there is a personal responsibility issue. It is not an education issue or a lack of opportunity issue. That's a personal issue. But also, we're not holding a new believer or a child to the same standard as a seminary student or something. And so I think that's a really important point too, to champion that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I always love trying to quote unquote dumb things down or make them more simple to mm-hmm. understand. If you can get a kid to understand what repentance
totally.
Is, like, anyone can understand what repentance is. And I mean, like, repenting means literally changing your mind. How do you change your mind? By physically doing something else.
Yep.
So, like, you Mike and Pastor Shane give similar examples. But Shane used me as the example. It's like, if Jacob comes up to me and I just punch him in the face and I go, sorry. And then I just go back and do it again. I say, mm-hmm. sorry, sorry, sorry.
Well, grace.
Right. Yeah.
Well, grace.
It's forgiveness. But I forgave you. No.
But no. It's true though. Like, seriously, how many believers
me?
Are just like,
me?
Oh, grace.
Will you forgive
Shane,
me?
Grace.
You don't care. You
yep.
came back and intentionally hurt me
Absolutely.
Anyways.
Yep.
So there's no point in not holding you accountable to the things you did wrong if there was no repentance
yep.
in the first place. If you didn't change your mind and change your actions, then there's no forgiveness to be had.
Right. And I think I really love that he mentioned, I can let go of the resentment or the bitterness mm. or the, you know, all those things, but the forgiveness is still not there. Which
right.
essentially means repentance. There's still a wall there in a healthy religion, a healthy aspect. You're going to have a boundary there. You're going to say, okay, I'm not going to let you punch me in the face anymore.
Yeah.
And you continuously show me you're going to punch me in the face. So I can't be around you.
Right.
I don't have to hate you. I
yeah.
don't have to be bitter towards you. I just have to say I can't. And that's not forgiveness necessarily. That's letting go of the things that are dragging you down.
Right.
And that doesn't mean in our repetitive screwing up that God doesn't love us.
Right.
But he does expect us to, I mean, we're going to screw up. We're humans. Like,
right.
we're fallen. But there's a difference between continually falling into the same pattern over and over and over again just because I'm forgiven mm-hmm. and I have grace covering me versus, yeah, I have changed and then I relapsed. I screwed up again. There is a difference between
mm-hmm.
that. Where is your
exactly.
heart mm-hmm. in that? And I think that's another area where people miss out so often is it just becomes this entrapment of hyper grace. It dumbs it down in a way that it's just water.
You're
not even mean anything.
Still a slave to sin.
Absolutely.
And that's not God's heart.
Not at all.
God's heart is
it's an empowerment to sin rather than an empowerment to refine
yep.
your heart.
To change and transform. And you said it perfectly, Jacob.
Yep.
Change takes action. changing your mind takes action. There's scientific proof that says you have to continuously do something new a minimum of 30 days before right. it even becomes yep. a thought process yep. in your mind. Yep. And that's science. That's mm-hmm. not, that's not me. I don't have good science. So
I'm not a science-y
30
man.
Days minimum. And then it, what is it? It's like 90 to make it a habit. Yeah. Right?
Something like that.
That's a lot of time.
Yeah. And I think the important thing to remember is that as long as there is repentance, there is always hope.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Pastor Shane yeah. mentioned that, you know, if Israel would have repented, God continuously said, repent and come to me. And if they would have, they wouldn't have ended up where they did. Mm-hmm. Even in all of the things that had happened over the mm-hmm. past, what, four centuries, they would have been brought back into the grace of the law. They would have been in the protection again of the Father.
Mm-hmm. And I want to piggyback off of that. Just because their society or our society is being punished, you can still remain faithful. And you can still, as an individual, become or be rewarded in the midst of punishment for generational poor choices, or even your own poor, you know, your consequences from previous disobedience. You can still be blessed. You can still be faithful in the circumstance.
Yeah. I mean, I can attest to that personally with my testimony.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
I know that it was a lot of years of bad choices on my part, a lot of years. And as soon as it was those small steps of obedience, and I know you're going to kind of be bringing yep. that this week, Angie, it was those small steps of obedience back into a relationship with the Father that, wow, life changed.
Yep.
Life changed. And so you're always, repentance is always an option. Let's just say that. It's always right. an option.
Yep. And typically not an easy one.
No.
That's the fun of stretching and growing. the easy and convenient is the sinful path.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, wide is yep. the road.
And yeah, absolutely.
Easy. But that's the thing. The repentance and the changing of your mind and forming those new thought patterns, that's all something that takes effort and intentionality and work.
Yeah, and it's uncomfortable. And I don't want to get like too deep into where my mind's at right now, because I know we're going to talk about it a lot next week as well. Mm-hmm. But so, for example, I was watching this show on Apple TV Plus called Shrinking, and it's about like a group of friends who are all therapists, psychiatrists, and one of them, his wife was killed by a drunk driver. And so like after a really dark period, him and his daughter had moved on, and then this guy shows up out of nowhere to try to apologize to Whoa. Him, and it sends him into this dark spiral. But throughout the course of this season, you see like him and his daughter working through of like I experienced the bitterness and the anger and the grief that comes from this guy killing my mother, killing my wife, but I don't want to hold on to this anymore. How are we going to work past mm-hmm. it? And a lot of it was him changing his mind and asking for repentance and doing the work of making sure it's never going to happen again, but then also like seeking out the forgiveness that may or may not be there. But, I think it's important to know that, it's hard work and it's uncomfortable, and it forces us to reflect on the things within ourselves that are deeply, deeply sinful, that it is a reflection of our condition, but it doesn't have to hold power over us.
Good.
And I think when we ask for forgiveness, that does a great work inside of us too.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's more along the lines of grace. Grace is that the mercy is forgiveness. The repentance brings upon mercy, and the grace gives us a power to move past it. And so I hope that this series really starts to spark some questions and desires to go a little bit deeper into the biblical background that has brought us to where we are. Because without that, we're just sitting in a room singing songs, right?
That's good too, but
I like music. I mean, I'll sing songs all day long, but you know, there's a bigger purpose to all of this.
You gotta move from milk to meat.
Well, I hope that, I think this is a good place to wrap up. We're going to get a lot deeper starting next week. Angie, you are bringing an amazing message about faithfulness.
Yep.
And if you are on the fence about whether you're coming this week, get off the fence and make sure that you put it on your alarm clock to be here at church Sunday.
Fence is uncomfortable anyway. Pick a side.
Yeah. Pick a side. The fence,
it's rough and it doesn't work well.
It gets splinters in my butt.
And we have donuts.
We have donuts and coffee.
We're way better.
That's way better than a fence.
Awesome. Well, we hope to see you Sunday. We hope that you have enjoyed this podcast coming back to you, even though, especially since it's been so long. We love you all. We're going to pray. Angie, would you do the honors of blessing the rest of the people's day?
Yeah. God, thank you for being with us in this time. I pray that each individual who is listening today, and ourselves included, that you would bless us for our faithfulness to you. And God, thank you for being a faithful God, despite our circumstance and despite where we are. Thank you for always being faithful and always having a plan for our good. God, be with us, give us peace, and help us to remember joy in our lives. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.